The nickname bracket is alive and well. We got a lot of news from the weekend to go along with it. Good morning, Andrew Perloff.
Good morning.
Okay, so we've got some nickname results for you, but we also have a couple of things percolating on the stove, which is, number one, Scottie Scheffler wins the Open Championship, Pearl, but if he is and continues to be the face of golf, is that a good thing for the sport? Because right now, I think he's thought of as being a little bit boring, even if he can be dominant, and he has not captured the casual fan in the way that some other stars of the sport have done.
Yeah, but he is also more dominant than anyone we've seen lately. 164 weeks at number one in a row, kind of challenging. He's in the he's getting closer to the Tiger territory. I personally think the winning is all that matters, because if he starts to chase records, and it's a long way away, and I don't think he's going to get there personally. If he started to chase Tiger at 15 majors, it would be a sight to see, because I think people love a winner.
So the first 25 majors between Scottie and Tiger, right? Just taking their first 25, because yesterday was the 25th major that Scottie Scheffler had competed in. So, and he's now won four majors, and it's the exact amount of days between his first major win and his fourth major win as Tiger Woods had in his first major win and his fourth major win. Now, obviously, they're very different ages. Tiger was winning all these at 19, and from 19 to like 25. Scottie didn't start winning majors until he was 25, and now he's 29 years old. So the first 25 majors, sort of stacking up Scottie and Tiger, 20 top 10 finishes for Scottie, 18 top 10 finishes for Tiger. Tiger also had six major wins to Scottie's four. They both had nine top five finishes. And I'm sorry, did I say top 25 finishes? Tiger 18, Scottie 20, top 10 finishes, Tiger 12, Scottie 16. So they are comparable. And I don't think that's comfortable for a lot of people, because Tiger was such a phenomenon and was doing in such dominant fashion, although Scottie has been dominant as well. But the idea of comparing Scottie and Tiger and putting them on even footing, I think does not sit well with a lot of casual fans.
Really? I'm not sure that anyone's really ready to call Scottie the next time. I mean, he is getting these Tiger conversations, but Koepka actually won at an even faster rate when he was even younger. He won four majors in a two-year span. I just think that what happened, though, Koepka got hurt and Spieth fell apart. Like, we've had flashes in the pan. Like, this is, to me, he's at four, right?
Yep.
So all this dominance, he's at four majors, and those stats are eye-opening, but they're not really, because he's got, if he doubles this, he's halfway to where Tiger was. So if we can start to move in that direction for real, then it's massive. And here's a question, like, health, will that hold up?
Well, I mean, he's a little bit older, obviously, than where Tiger was when he was winning. But Tiger had a violent swing. We know he was working out with Navy SEALs. He was just too much on his body, let alone all the other stuff that was going on off the course, which, you know, contributed to some of the downfall, but it was one of the biggest sports scandals maybe of all time that Tiger Woods was involved in. So the Scottie Tiger comparisons, do you like it? Do you see it or not? Obviously, what Tiger meant to the sport, too, Scottie's not in that realm. You know, Tiger was a different force culturally, but Scottie, just by virtue of being a winner, do you feel like these comparisons are right on or not?
Just imagine, though, for a second, if he won next year's Masters, yeah. Don't you think this would start to become a thing? Like, I think even the casuals would be fascinated by, who is this guy? Like, why is this boring guy who seems like more like a dad who talks about going to a Chipotle after the Chipotle? Sorry.
Yeah.
That was like his big victory dinner. He, you know, I think he's going to become a little fascinating because he's odd. I mean, I don't know. I just think that if he won next year's Masters and it became his fifth, oh my God, then people be like, well, it's on. The chase
fifth
is on.
Major, yeah. I don't know. See, the other part about Scottie that we're starting to learn is that he has a pretty, I would say, healthy distance between his, how he feels about golf seems very un-Tiger-like, in the fact that before the Open Championship, he was openly talking about how golf, he didn't say it's not important to him. That's not it. It just, he said, like, he's just really not defined by golf. And it kind of sounds like something that a sports psychologist would try to tell somebody. And he seems like he's a living, breathing embodiment of it. I don't think anyone would have even believed that if Tiger Woods had tried to say, listen, I'm more than just a golfer. Golf doesn't fulfill me. You know, it's my family. Tiger might have said that. I don't know if anyone would have ever believed it.
Well, yeah, but it did point to, I think it was fascinating because he seemed somewhat depressed when he said that. Like that was...
It's like an existential crisis
dread.
Kind of
thing. Yeah, that was actually pretty... That of you're talking about the press conference. That was very interesting, actually. That's the first interesting thing Scheffler's ever said. Like,
yeah, which is basically like, I don't need this. It's not as fulfilling as you think, everybody.
Yeah, it felt like...
Does that seem like someone who's ready to break Tiger's record? I don't think so.
But it felt like, hello, darkness, my old friend behind him. Then he goes out and wins.
Yeah.
So that, I think the dichotomy of him not caring as much and being a better player is a bit interesting. But again, we love winners. And you keep saying, I didn't love Tim Duncan. Took Tim Duncan a long time to get those rings. That was how many years? 15 years.
Right. Well, what do you think Scottie's going to need to break Tiger's record? That's not going to happen overnight.
How many did Tim get?
Four. Five.
Five.
Sorry. Three in the first, what, 8 years of his career? Seven? It wasn't like it was a long haul.
So how many is Scottie won? Four in how many years?
Four in like four.
Yeah. I just think if it took him 15 years to get to five, that would not be as exciting. So I just think he has to keep this pace going. If Scottie does it over, say, a 15-year span, it won't be exciting. But if he keeps up this pace and wins one or two majors every year for the next 3 years, it'll be huge. I think he'd be a massive star despite his total lack of personality.
Listen, I think it took Tiger like 11 years. You know, that didn't happen.
15.
They're 15, yeah. Right. But okay, so it might take another decade. Like, this is what we're talking about when you're going rarefied air. It's not going to happen in the next 5 years. That'd be crazy.
So if he won, how many years? If he won 1.5 for the next 5 years, that would be seven more majors and he'd be up to 11. And then he'd be 35. That would be fascinating. Like, then you'd be like, he's got to catch him, right?
That's what we said about Tiger with Jack.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Well, that, you know, the thing about golf is these days, it seems like everybody hurts their back, which I relate to. Yeah. Like, you know, ouch.
Yeah.
Because they have to drive too far back in the day. And I don't buy the one thing I disagree with you guys on is like, you don't need this electric personality to be interesting as a golfer. Like, I don't think personally, I don't find, or you don't need this style like this. There's nothing really you could do on the golf course that's so dramatic that you're going to be that much more interesting than any other golfer to me.
Yeah, you and I will differ on that. I think people who have these huge drives or amazing putting or have this one thing or the ability to melt down, I think is way more interesting. Can I bring up something, though? You just mentioned your back. I was happened to be furniture shopping a little bit yesterday and had to go into a mattress store.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, it was whatever. But have you guys shopped for a mattress lately? No. Okay.
No.
So you go in there. Do you know what mattresses are promising these days?
Like, what the hell does that mean?
Like, you'll go in to buy a mattress now, and it's like, this will stop your snoring.
Sure.
This, you will wake up with no aches and pains. You know, like,
it's a little cooler on this side of the bed.
Well, that's just like the technology, right? But it's almost like they're promising you're going to stop someone from snoring and you're going to make sure all their aches and pains go away. Yeah. A mattress can't do that.
Are you a snorer with back pain, Maggie?
I'm not a snorer with back pain, but thankfully my husband doesn't snore or else I think I'd have to sleep in a different room.
Are you saying that the sleeping industrial complex is maybe exaggerating some of its things?
Okay. Big mattress is making a lot of claims. And it's like, mattresses are crazy expensive. So maybe you feel like you need all these bells and whistles, but can a mattress tell you you're not going to wake up with back pain? How could you make that claim?
Have you ever slept on a bad mattress?
Well, that can cause back pain, but let's say I pulled a herniated disc in my back. There's no mattress on planet Earth that's going to help that.
You want a mattress that won't make it worse, right?
Sure, won't make it worse, but I think it's a big claim to say you're going to wake up with no aches and pains. You can't. You don't know that.
How did we get here?
You don't.
Well, I got
you
lost
mentioned
a little
your
bit.
Back pain.
Oh.
And I happened to be looking at mattresses yesterday that promised
Did you buy one?
To take away your back pain. No. My kid just really had to use the bathroom because that was another thing that happened.
Nice bathroom?
My your husband kid. Took them. Can I tell you something that happened yesterday?
You went
yesterday?
In the mattress store to use the bathroom.
Yeah, because we're furniture shopping. We're in one of those strip malls that just like only has furniture-y stuff.
That sounds so New Jersey.
Yeah, it is. It was. Can I ask the guys in here a question, though?
You only work with three of them.
Yeah, and I have access to all your brains. So my kid is six. And he will sometimes like pee outside. Nice. And sometimes I'll encourage it because like, nice. A, I don't want him to like pee in his pants because that would suck. But also, I feel like sometimes you guys can do that, but it's teaching him the nuances of where you can go and where you can't go. So like right outside the furniture store, that's a no.
Sure.
But to the side of the furniture store, like where, what's
to the side, behind it?
I mean,
a strip mall is a little bit of a tough spot.
Right.
Man. When you're 6 years old, though, our daughter, I should say, she used to squat in the middle of the street in Brooklyn at like four or five. I'm not exaggerating. Like, kids go anywhere. What's the difference?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But my kid
Your husband.
No, I know. Well, I turned around right in front of the mattress store, and my kid's got pants around his ankles. He's got the shirt up. Tucked up under his chin.
Yeah.
At that age, you got to go pants around the ankles.
It's no halfway, all the way down.
Because if it goes halfway, he's going to get half of it wet.
Exactly. And, you know, he's six now, so he's not having accidents. So I'm not carrying extra stuff everywhere we go.
You definitely should.
No, he's good. But I don't know. I don't know the rules here. I don't know.
Have your husband teach him the rules. That's the advice that I give you. Have your husband teach him the rules of how to urinate outside.
No, it's fine. He knows how to do it. It's just like, all right, in front of the mattress store, not okay. But then like in a park next to a tree, okay.
You live in the forest of Jersey. Yeah. Like, take him anywhere.
Well, he's right in the middle of the driveway the other day, facing the stream.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I would frown on, if you're trying to train, you're at a strip mall. If you go into like a Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know if those exist anymore. Do not go number two on one of the toilets there. That is definitely frowned upon.
On or in?
In.
You can't, no? Why?
Well, because they're just on display and they're not connected to anything. That is very bad.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had that accident before.
Oh, that's God. Actually the final scene in Couples Retreat. Vince Vaughn kid is going to the bathroom. he's got a newspaper out in the on display toilet. But yeah, first of all, this is not a dad. Like a mom has to, like a 6-year-old kid. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't want him just taking a leak right in front of the store.
Well, he's got to be doing it with somebody though, right? Like you're gonna say, hey, just go over there and just
I just go inside the store. And he goes and we don't buy anything and then I feel bad. But I'm like, I'm also not going to take him to the side to pee on the side of your store. That also seems bad.
You should not feel bad about not
buying anything.
Was it a small mattress store, like a small business, or was it a corporation?
Corporation.
Man, pee on the side of the building.
But you understand a 6-year-old is viewed differently than a 35-year-old man.
Absolutely. I still don't want him just taking a leak in front of
him. The rules do not apply. Yeah.
Like, I worry about his watching, it's just like weird. Yeah.
Your husband's not going to teach him the way of the world in this sense. He's 6 years old. Just do it in the parking lot. Who cares, right?
Or do it in your pants.
No, Manny, don't do it in the
pants. That's why you need to bring extra clothes, Maggie.
I'm not doing that.
What's your guys' take on going to Wrigley Field and wearing diapers? You guys down with that kind of thing?
Hell yeah, it's baseball.
Why does that happen?
Because there's
a million bars around Wrigley and you drink a lot of beer, presumably, and it's really hard to get from the bleachers to the bathroom. It takes like 3 innings.
That sounds awful. Sounds like the building was built in the 1910s.
Just don't drink so much beer. Come on.
Beer's delicious.
How dare
you,
EJ?
You're not invited on this next trip to Wrigley.
Get this guy out.
I'm going to enjoy 9 innings of baseball, my friends.
I just love the fact that Perloff thinks that there's other rules just for Wrigley. I know people do that. Or not Perloff. 100%. Anybody thinks there's extra rules like you don't drink a lot of beer and there's not a lot of bars around every other baseball stadium.
There's nothing like Wrigleyville. I mean, like, yeah, Wrigley is 100% an exception to every possible rule. There's nothing like Wrigley.
That's fine, but like you can drink 10 beers at Wrigley Field just like you can at Comerica Park. It's like,
no, I don't think so at all. I call it from Chicago.
Why?
Because there's no more concentrated set of bars than the area around Wrigley.
How much you drink has nothing to do with how many bars are around. It's how many beers do you want to consume. It can be one bar there or it can be 100 bars there. You're going to drink however amount of beer you're going to drink. So why is it more acceptable to wear a diaper one place and not another?
I think it's socially acceptable / required to drink a ton of beer to go to Wrigley. Like, this is Wrigley Field. This is where Harry Carey came down.
I apologize. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no. I thought that was part of the Wrigley experience, no?
I don't think it's ever acceptable to be wearing a diaper as an adult if you don't need one.
Give me the Chicago hot dog with the stupid pickle on it and just let me go my way. All right, I don't need to drink eight beers to enjoy.
Well, that's you, but Wrigley other Field. People might need to. Hey, Chicago,
what do you say? Any place you got to go, you got to wear a diaper as an adult. You shouldn't be going. Like, don't go to Times Square for midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, New Year's Eve. Like, if you're wearing a diaper, the plans are dead.
No. I've always wondered about that. Where do people go to the bathroom at Times Square on New Year's Eve?
They wear diapers.
In their pants.
They wear diapers?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Bad idea.
I think that's, I get it.
If you're my kid, it's just pants around the ankles.
If you can't buy beer that much, just wait the three innings and go to the bathroom.
That's the thing. If you take a kid to Wrigley, you're going to miss half the game because I'm telling you, the way to get out of the outfield down to where the bathrooms are, you're missing a ton of baseball. I thought you liked baseball, EJ.
No, I do. That's why I don't drink that much beer. Or soda, even. Like, I just went to a movie theater yesterday. I'm not going to just fill up on a bunch of drinks so I can watch this stupid Jurassic Park movie. I'm going to watch the damn movie.
Oh, that's the worst. When you're at a movie and you have to go to the bathroom, you have to pick the most boring scene.
How do you know when that is?
You never know.
You have to anticipate.
I had a streak of Marvel movies where I never had to go, and then Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I don't know what happened. But I absolutely had to go. And of course, I got up at a scene that was very important.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I don't know why this is happening.
This is why you just watch the movies at home.
No. That's why you wear diapers to the theater.
I love that the adult diaper industry might be seeing some kind of uptick.
Thanks to us.
Yeah.
Thanks to you. I'm saying just go to the bathroom, damn it.
I got to be honest. If I'm a woman and I see an adult male wearing a diaper and they don't have any like medical reason for it just to drink mm-hmm. extra beer, mm-hmm. that's a no.
Yeah, but I don't think they care. They're having a great time in Wrigleyville. Just, I think you don't go to the Cubs game to meet women.
This is why American men are lonely.
Too many diapers.
Yes. Baseball.
Baseball, beer, and diapers.
I think we need a Maggie and Perloff show trip to Wrigley. I don't even drink, and I got into it
that's
big
my,
time.
That's my, what's the name? That's my bucket list, one of my main bucket list stadiums.
I've never been to Wrigley either.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
It is just the whole, everything around it is amazing. The neighborhood's amazing. The stadium's amazing. We should go to that famous roof, although I think it's changed a little bit.
I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Just drink a couple beers.
Well, you're not wrong.
No, 24 beers. Like, you can't drink a couple beers. This is Wrigley, man. You got to step up your game.
Challenge accepted.
Do you realize, though, if the four of us went to Wrigley, of two people who don't drink and then Manny and I, it's a lot of pressure on me to try to keep up with Manny. I'll be in a coma.
I'm not going to.
Bogues to help. You got five.
Oh, Bogues wants to go. I mean, Perloff has said, you know, no thanks on so many bogus offers. I'm surprised he'd even want to have any part of this.
Yeah, I'd prefer if Bogues didn't come, but he can come, I guess. Maggie, you just wear a diaper. You're fine.
That's a big no.
That doesn't...
It's not... It's
sitting
not,
there in your own...
Oh, get your boy a diaper.
Urine is not exciting to you for a baseball game?
Why don't you get your boy some pull-ups?
Who, Lucas? Yeah. We already are out of that phase. I'm not going back, and you can't make me.
Listen, beggars can't be choosers here. Is he going to pee on the side of the building, or is he going to wear diapers at 6 years old?
Pee it on the side of the building. Pee in the building. I'm not going back to diapers. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, well, got to take a quick timeout. Coming up next, we have results for you for two of the regions of the Maggie and Perloff greatest sports nickname of all time bracket. Some very, very unique results here. A little surprised by you guys. Get to that next, M&P. Go, Cubs, go!
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I have my finger on the pulse of America, and I will prove it. We put up a poll, Maggie and Perloff on X, will you tune in to see Scottie Scheffler become the face of golf? And I said to EJ as he's walking out of the room, I'll bet you that's 50-50. Guess what the result was?
What?
50-50.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I...
Nailed it.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at this. Hence, and I always knew, for example, when we were doing Mount Olympus, I was like, oh, this one's going to be 80-20 me. But yeah, I think that was a pretty good call. I mean, who predicts a poll to the exact decimal better than Andrew Perloff?
Well, you can still go vote at Maggie and Pearl. Yeah. The voting's still open on that Scottie Scheffler question. It will be open for the next 24 hours. We'll get to our greatest nickname in sports bracket reveal. We got some results for you from the first round in a moment. But Jim's in South Carolina wants to talk about Scottie Scheffler versus Tiger Woods through their first four major wins, the exact amount of days from when Tiger won his first to his fourth and Scottie winning his first and fourth. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning. Great show as always, guys. Hey, I will tune in to watch Scottie, but I truly do not believe that Scotty is going to stay in the game long enough. I think he's going to retire early enough that chasing Tiger isn't even a high priority of him. I don't even think it's on his radar. If you listen to his interview last week and then what he said yesterday after he won the Claret Jug, this is not what drives him.
Yeah.
He's not driven by the same things Tiger was. And I truly believe at some point Scotty will say, it's done, and I'm going to go to do what really, really feeds me.
Which is go play golf. Like every other retired person.
Jim, you're right. We're grabbing some of those clips from you from last week about this sort of existential, dilemma, yeah. It seemed like, that Scotty Scheffler had, which was about him winning, yeah. getting to the mountaintop and saying it's a fleeting moment of feeling yeah. good about actually winning a championship.
Well, do you remember that other golfer who retired early? It's never happened. It never will happen. It's golf. There's no way. What are you walking away from playing 18? Get out of here. There's no way he's retiring. Nobody's ever retired in that sport. Some guys have gone into TV because they didn't think they were going to win anymore.
Or injuries, obviously. Let's hear.
Not you, really.
You have a clip of Scotty last week sounding, a little depressed.
It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, places of your heart. There's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world and then they're like, what's the point? And, I really do believe that because, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis.
And what are we all doing here? Just on a spinning rock hurtling through Earth, space rather.
So do you think he'll walk away early, as the caller suggested?
If anyone would, it may be him. I never thought so until I heard these quotes. But, also deep down, is he really just a killer? And this is kind of like sports psychology psychobabble. I don't know.
It's golf.
Well, it's
this gets
pressure,
back to our
Pearl.
Tiger Woods injury. Yeah.
It's still pressure. Just because they're not hitting anything or colliding into anything doesn't mean there's not pressure. It doesn't take its toll.
I'd be shocked if he walked away and just retired. That would be one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Because, again, he's a human being. What do you do when you retire if you're good at golf? You go play golf.
Well, they
it
have
doesn't
to find
make
a different
any
outlet.
Sense.
Pickleball, something like that. Okay.
Talking about hard on the body. Pickleball, he'll end up twisting an ankle. No, he's in for the duration. Because he's got this healthy attitude, too. It'll help him play longer. He's fine. Don't worry, Jim. He's going to play forever.
Let's get to our nickname bracket.
From the fridge to the great one, it's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Okay, so we are into the second round now. First round voting is all closed, but I wanted to give some results, Pearl, from the Flash and Fun region, which we revealed on Friday. Would you like some results?
Definitely. Let's go.
A little shocking to me. The number one seed in this region, again, the Flash and Fun region, was Big Poppy. David Ortiz took out Ken the Snake Stabler. That was 70% to 30% a walkover. Here's another shocking result. The Fridge, William Perry, of course, 83% of the vote to Johnny Football. We thought Manziel may hold his own here. Only 17% of the vote. The Fridge over Johnny Football.
Okay, I thought Johnny Football could make a run, but obviously the second I saw him match against the Fridge is the Fridge.
Tough 8-9 yeah. matchup. The 12 seed Beast Mode. Marshawn Lynch moves on, takes out the 5th seed in this region, Ocho Cinco. Only got 39% of the vote.
Chicken, cheese, guac. But they forgot my Pico de Gallo.
Marshawn Lynch moves on as a 12 seed. The 4th seed in this region, an easy win. That'd be the Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal.
Do it again, Chuck.
Takes out the 13 seed, one that was a bit of a sentimental favorite around here, Pillsbury Throwboy. That would be the late Jared Lorenzen. The 6th seed, Dr. J, moves on. Nope. Dr. J, moving on.
I could do it. The sound. Julius Irving, which is not Dr. J, which doesn't help.
The 6th seed, Dr. J, takes out the 11th seed in this Flash and Fun region. That'd be the Big Hurt. And it was not close. 70% to 30%.
Frank Thomas?
Prime time Deion Sanders. 91% of the vote. He was the 3 seed over the 14 seed. Skip to my Lou. So Rafer Alston going home.
What about Shiloh?
Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight film, takes out King James.
Again, I want my damn respect, too.
You're not getting it here, LeBron. 63% to 37%. And then the second seed in this flash and fun region, the round mound of rebound, of course, is Charles Barkley. Sits down the honey badger.
I hit my parlay!
Tyrann Mathieu. So again, that's Big Poppy, The Fridge, Beast Mode, Diesel, Dr. J, Primetime, Human Highlight Film, and Round Mound of Rebound. All moving on.
Seeing a trend, 80s and 90s nicknames. More iconic, possibly? You've seen Primetime, Human Highlight Reel, The Fridge, Round Mound of Rebound dominating. I think nicknames were better back then. Isn't that what we're kind of learning here? King James got destroyed?
I mean, it's not that clever.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with that. We have more matchups to reveal to you coming up later on in the show and voting open. Bogus is back from vacation, already mad at us. Didn't mean it, Bogues. It's just, we said we'd do a, Prof said show trip to Wrigley. I said the four of us. Because how many times have you said, I'm not even offering anymore?
Shaq wanted to be my dad.
Don't even want to do it anymore because Perloff has said no to you so many times about the road trip.
You can backtrack all you want. You can blame it on Pearl all you want, but words have meanings. And I heard the words. Apparently Manny said something similar as well where, again, I'm just not part of the count. That's fine. I appreciate the clarity, guys. I don't have to try hard anymore. I can just sit back. I'll come in. I'll read my sports news. I'll go back to my desk and sit there by myself. It's fine.
You don't want to go on a trip where EJ's like, well, people should stop drinking so much beer before they watch a Cubs game. That sounds like a great time.
I just wanted to be part of the group.
And will it's not you wear a diaper?
It's been this long. It's not going to work, so it's fine.
Have you ever been? It feels like you might have been to Wrigley.
I was at Wrigley two summers ago.
But did you get the vibe that that's a stadium where you drink beer more than other stadiums? It's part of the culture there?
I don't know. People seem to be good at drinking beer. It doesn't matter where or when. I don't know if Moore is drunk at Wrigley. But,
really?
I mean, people are always drinking.
That's what I say. Right. It doesn't matter if you have one bar or 100 bars. If you're going to drink 17 beers, you're going to drink 17 beers. Yeah. That's my thought. Wait, Bogues, you would never wear a diaper to Wrigley.
So before you guys insulted me again by not counting me, I was thinking I could physically wear a diaper. I don't know that I could bring myself to go in the diaper.
Well, you're usually so blind drunk you don't realize. I think that's the point.
But
right?
I can't even relax enough to go in the ocean.
Man.
So I don't know that I could just sit there and go, I'm just going to pee now in my diaper. You could tell me that the diaper is 100% leak proof. There's no one's going to know. And I don't think I could actually do it.
You just can't let it go.
This guy's never peed on the side of a building. You can just tell.
I almost did yesterday driving home from Maryland. We were between rest stops and I thought it was going to have like a bladder explosion.
That's why you got to check the tire, right?
On the side of the car. Tire.
Yeah.
Lean right? down over here and check this tire.
Yeah. I was checking if there was enough shoulder to pull over to hide. Like, do I go into the bushes? But it was a near catastrophe. But again, if I had a diaper, I don't think I could have gone.
I always find it feels so dangerous to pull over on the side of the highway.
Definitely.
You know? But when you got to go, you got to go.
Or it's the old, that ain't Gatorade in that bottle.
Not Apple
juice. Seen from Dumb and Dumber?
Every guy's done that, right?
I would have traumatized my kids, though. That was the hesitation yesterday.
I mean, they don't need that. I don't know if you could do that with your daughter in the car.
Like, they both had headphones on, like, close your eyes, lay down. I don't know.
Relieving yourself into a bottle while you're driving sounds rather difficult.
I wasn't driving at this point yesterday.
You've never done that? Like got caught in a traffic jam and never.
No, I haven't. I mean, like when I was, you know, I used to pee in bottles, but I was 4 years old going on a trip to Florida in the back seat.
Wait, but hold on. This is what I always don't understand. And they did this in Dumb and Dumber with how do you know one bottle is going to be enough to hold all the liquid?
Right.
Well, and then all of a sudden you're getting to the top and it's like, now it's all over the car.
You got to pull the brakes, the emergency brake.
Oh, there's such a thing?
Yes. Yeah, you can stop it.
I mean, a Gatorade bottle, you should be fine. Of a small bottle?
Wait, hold on.
A 12-ounce?
You're asking this question. You blew chunks into that Yeti of yours. Yeah. How did you know that was going to be enough to hold it?
I was desperate. I was driving home with a stomach bug puking in my thing.
That you're still drinking out of.
No, it's a new one.
Oh, thank God. But you did.
No, you still bring that navy one around.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, that's the one right there. That's the one that's seen better days. That mug.
I washed it.
New poll question. What's nastier, puking in the Yeti or then reusing the puke Yeti?
I put it in the dishwasher. It's sanitized.
You could put it in all the dishwashers.
You could acid wash that. I wouldn't use it.
Run it through a car wash. You wouldn't imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll get you a new one.
With the puke inside of it.
It's my own puke, and I put it through the dishwasher.
It's my own pee as well. I'm not going to, use a cup after I just urinated in it.
Sanitized it?
No. Just get a new one.
They're $35 at your local hardware store,
I might even
Max.
Get a new car if I were
I might have not told us the story.
By the way,
I was that bad that
can
day.
Can I top your vomit story? Something happened to
Please
us this
do.
Weekend.
Go Excuse ahead.
I ran out. It was raining. We were at the Philadelphia Art Museum. Visited my parents this weekend, and it was raining, so my wife told me to run out of the car. Then I get an emergency call. Someone just threw up all over me. She was standing at the door, and a guy walked up and yacked on her dress.
What?
Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
A stranger?
Philadelphia,
a stranger.
You animals.
Oh, that's a stranger. He just happened to get sick right next to her, all over her and all her shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Whenever I heard people talk about getting thrown up on by a homeless person, that is like my worst nightmare.
This guy was a normal person. He was not.
Yeah, even if a normal person is also terrible. But like, I
was
guess
he going
happens.
To Wrigley? Was he hammered already?
No, it was 11:30 a.m. on a Sunday. Really? And he was watching, looking hungover. At art.
Did anybody punch him in the face afterwards?
No. Everyone was worried about him. Like, is this guy dying? What is going on here?
I would have given him that 1-2 and a biscuit. Are you kidding me?
Wait, so what did Sarah do? She doesn't
she
have
sprinted
extra
to the bathroom
clothes?
And washed it off immediately. Yes. She
has extra clothes. I'm like, Maggie.
We're visiting Philadelphia. I had to get her dress out of the back, and somehow she changed in the car. But she did keep the puke dress.
She's going to clean it and wear it again, guys. Yeah,
that wasn't even her own. Like, you had a good point. Like, that was your own vomit. I can understand keeping that cup.
No. The difference is the dress is going to be clothing.
Right.
You're drinking where the vomit lives.
Right.
And I cleaned it in the dishwasher.
No.
That's still gross.
It's still gross.
So this whole time, if you guys think about this like a lot, like, wow, she's drinking out of that puke.
I thought about it the day you came back and you told us the story.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought of you the same since.
Well, that's
laughing.
All right.
I'm kind of serious.
I mean, well, then you're going to look at me different. I'm a human being. I'm a person. He's drinking out of a puke cup.
I can't believe I wanted to hang out with you guys at one point.
That's your bad, folks. Got some headlines for us?
The NFLPA is as together as we are. Former player J.C. Shredder has now resigned as...
Oh, don't take a sip out of that.
You think I can get through the show without coffee?
J.C. Shredder resigning as the union's chief strategy officer. And he removes his name from consideration to be the interim executive director. Lloyd Howell had that job until stepping down late last week because of all the drama swirling around him. And Shredder was connected to a lot of it, which is why some players didn't want him to be in the mix to replace Howell. Now that won't happen. The PA's executive committee was to meet last night to vet some other candidates for that top job.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we get the details of Lloyd Howell? You guys seen this? So nobody knows who this guy is, right?
Yeah.
He was just some finance guy who became like the Player Association executive director. Nobody knows who this guy is. And I don't think anyone did, even with all this chaos going on, until ESPN dropped a story, what was it, Friday night, about one of the reasons why he resigned is because he had all these charges to the strip club.
By the way, I saw that headline. Like, and? That's how business works. Everybody charges to the strip club.
Okay, so there's two charges. Yeah. One is a $750 car service that he had pick him up from the airport, then wait for him at the strip club, and then take him to a hotel. He was at the strip club for like 6 hours. A
lot of business.
Again,
a lot of deals to negotiate.
What? The terrace? Sell.
Yeah. Do you know how this thing works? What do you think those strip clubs are doing?
Okay, then the second one was $2,500 at the strip club, Magic City in Atlanta.
Yeah,
now,
this in the afternoon.
That's just on wings. Going for the wing. Going for the wing.
Yeah, there for the food, I'm sure.
What are we going to do about these strippers?
But here's the thing. I understand that business gets done at strip clubs, but then you don't expense that.
Yeah, you
back
do.
To the union, Pearl.
Yes, of course you do. Yes, strip clubs are famously expensed by business people. Famously.
Okay, but this is not your average business. It's a union.
Yeah, it's even worse. Like, what do you think unions? Unions are experts at breaking rules to get more expenses. That's what unions do.
I don't know if it's a... I think you, if you are a union, don't you have to operate like where every dollar has to be accounted for and all of that stuff? Okay. No, I'm saying, or you could be audited. Like, you have to say that it's at the strip club, and then the rest of the members have to be like, are we okay with this? Are we not okay with this? And the guy resigned, so obviously it's not all copacetic.
And they got a private room at that strip club. I wonder what
clearly
happened there.
Or I don't know. I'm not sure how much it costs in Magic City.
I'm not getting involved in this union discussion, but they are quite known for
then why do you
bending
resign?
Rules.
I mean, he resigned because there was a conflict of interest and some other stuff, but he didn't resign before any of that stuff happened, and then the strip club stories... Oh, yeah. Drops and then he resigns. If it's so obvious that everyone does this, then why do you resign?
I mean, I think there was a lot of things going on here, but going to a strip club and expensing it doesn't seem that crazy to me. For this, it seems like a lot of NFL players do go to strip clubs. I've been to a strip club in South Philly.
But they don't bill the Bengals after the fact.
I don't know. I went to this one, Delilah's in Philadelphia. Yeah, there were a bunch of Eagles there every night. They're like, they're always there.
That's fine. That's fine. Go to the strip club, but you're not asking Howie Roseman to pick up the tab.
What you do?
Right, they're players, so the Players Association, it made some sense. I know it's not ideal, but it's not so crazy.
So you think he was having, instead of going to like training camp and to like locker room, he was taking the guys to the strip club to talk about union issues?
Well, I mean, it's like the same as going to dinner.
Like a business dinner.
Yeah.
But I think Matt...
No, it's a stretch. I know what you're saying, but it's not so radical. Like, if you work for... Citibank or something, you would take a client to a strip joint?
Yes, but my guess would be that they would know the creative way to log it, that it didn't say Naked City.
And Lloyd Howell didn't do that.
Naked City, USA. City. Yeah.
Lloyd Howell was, so it's a poor accounting technique.
I think so.
Actually, I think he got dimed out because if somebody looked and saw the $700 car charge and actually looked up, he didn't put the name of it. He just put the address. And they Googled the address, and it turned out it was like, you know.
And no matter what, like, there's also, like, limits. There's caps. Like, even here, like, you can cover $50 for dinner, but not $75. So he's putting in $750 for a limo, and he only has, like, a $250 allotment. Like, that's a problem there, too.
No, the fact he was going to the ATM and getting money out and expensing that, too. Right. All that stuff.
And by the way, dude, just get a second car. Why are you making somebody wait for you? You know you're not going to be there for 10 minutes. Let the first guy leave. Get your second Uber when you go home later on.
You get fired. But this is how big business works, and this is big business. There's millions of dollars on the line for NFLPA.
Right, but until you're doing other stuff, they're wondering whether you're in cahoots with the league, and then
that
BTW
part,
here is the stuff that we actually can fire you for the expenses.
Right. If he had not been and sort of had this backdoor deal with the league, then could he have gotten away with the strip job?
Definitely.
I think probably. And the other part, we're not naive to know that, you know, guys from Wall Street or wherever you are.
We like boobs. We get it.
Go to the strip club and put the corporate card down.
Yeah.
That's true. But that's why I think the union stuff is different, especially this union, because they're like famous. You know, he's not famous, but the NFLPA, I think people care more about NFL players than they do Brad from, you know.
No,
from
you're right.
Deutsche Bank. Like,
calling
they just don't care.
All boobs.
Yeah,
all of them to Lloyd Howell's room.
What you
and they all showed up, apparently, and they all got tipped very well.
Perloff, what you doing at Delilah's?
I've been to strip joints.
A meeting with
I wish there was footage. If you want to see an awkward
conversation.
If you want to see an awkward conversation, an Andrew Perloff who's not about to tip at 23 years old talking to a stripper.
Stone cold sober?
No, back then I wasn't sober, but... Yeah, like, I have no money, and, like, we're not really going to do this, are we? Like, there's nothing.
We're not going to do this. Why are you there if you're not doing this?
Because, you know, there's this conversation you have to go through.
The small talk?
You guys know,
that's
right?
Not optional?
I've never been to a strip club. I don't know.
You can't just be like, it's kind of like when you know.
Watched.
You have
TV
to do
shows.
Small talk. They
you have
come
to
up,
do small talk.
You have to. You've been to a strip club, right?
But never gotten... Like,
and nobody came up and talked to you?
No.
I went to the strip club in GTA 5. Does that count?
That'd be Grand Theft Auto,
you've never been to a strip
video
club?
Game.
I have been to the strip club,
of course, man.
And you know about the small talk.
Yeah,
you know, she's paying for grad school or something.
Yeah. What do you want to be?
I think Manny's currently putting four women through dental hygienist school as we speak.
It's two of them.
My college friends and I were asked if we could drive a girl back to New York with us the next morning. Yeah, no thanks.
Oh,
it's a hard pass.
More than just small talk. You're getting into backstories. You're Uber now.
We were in Atlantic City.
And how was the ride with said stripper?
we assumed like one of us would lose a kidney along the way, so we declined.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Thank you, Bogues. You're welcome on any road trip anytime.
You don't mean that. It's fine.
We have a question for you about one training camp that is open and one player making some very, very big declarations next.
Her barely covered upper chest area.
Mm-hmm.
Is it acceptable to wear a diaper to go see a Cubs game because there's so many bars around Wrigley Field? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've got other stuff besides that burning question, but Rick is in Myrtle Beach, wants to call in about it. What's up, Rick? How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Yep, I grew up in Chicago. But first thing about Scotty, I think a lot of the diehard golf fans love the fact that Tiger was feared and so was Scotty. You know, Sundays, Tigers were in the red. I think they're comparable, if you ask me. But that was just my quick 2 cents. Yeah. But no, I grew up in Chicago, and the way the rooftops work, or at least up until when Ricketts bought the Cubs, he changed the sign. Mm. He put up a new billboard, and it blocked a couple of the buildings.
Got it.
So, and there's like five or six, I've forgotten now. But the way it works, the way it used to work, was one of them you spend, it's say $200 for a ticket, and that's all you can eat: hot dogs, hamburgers, and draft beer. Now the better one is a step up, where it's all you can eat: ribs and Italian beef and house liquor. And then there's the next one up is steak, top shelf, and then all of them include parking. So that's kind of, and no
so
matter
that's
what,
the way to do it. And you don't need to wear a diaper because presumably the bathroom lines are not nearly what they are at the stadium.
Exactly, because each one of them only holds about 30 to 50 people tops.
Yeah, got it. It seems like a big bachelor party type of thing, right?
It's a great, great time. Hey, you all have a good day. Fun. Thank you.
Thanks. You too, Rick. Hey, Chicago, enjoy it. All right, so if we go there as a show, it feels like the rooftop is really the best option.
Yeah, I like it the old school where it used to not be corporate. You know what I mean? It used to be just regular fans. When did they start doing that? You know what I mean? Like that used to just be people on those rooftops. They didn't have like a whole system. Now it's
an economy now.
Really, really expensive.
Do you agree also with Rick that there's a fear of Scotty that amongst other golfers that rivals Tiger?
I heard some people, I think some golfers saying, like, oh man, like Scotty's got the lead, we're dead. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Does that mean that he is capturing the imagination of the sports fan, though, and of the casual golfer?
I think you got to project forward. What if he keeps doing this? You know, we talk about this a lot for the NBA, for example. SGA was amazing this year, but you got to see him in the finals two or three times till the casual fans get him. If he wins next year's Masters, there's going to be a lot of energy around that. Can you just picture that? That would be amazing.
Well, yeah, but would it still be any more evidence that he's going to actually chase down Tiger, or that he's just going to fall back to the middle of the pack like a lot of guys who got off to really great starts have done in their career?
But getting a fifth would be more than any of those other guys have done.
What, Spieth, Koepka,
that? I think Koepka eventually came back and won a fifth. But to do a fifth in this short a time would be ahead of the pace of Rory and Spieth. Yeah, and also, too, there seems to be something about this guy mentally which is fascinating. He seems to be closer to Tiger than those other guys.
I don't know. He says that golf is not fulfilling in the deepest parts of his soul.
Yeah, but there's something cool about that.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Like, I could take it or leave it. Coming up, who's under more pressure to win it all? We'll ask you.